G'day and welcome to Ad Nauseam Podcast. Today we're going to talk about the assessment of acute asthma. Management will follow in another episode. The resources for today are the Therapeutic Guidelines, DUNS, IBCC's page on asthma, Emergency Medicine Cases episode 193, and RCH's CPG on acute asthma. Firstly, we'll consider differential diagnoses, anaphylaxis, inhaled foreign body, pneumonitis pneumonia, cardiac wheeze, vocal cord dysfunction, pulmonary embolism and pneumothorax. On history, we'll want to know about the current illness and risk factors for potentially fatal asthma. For the current illness, we want to know what the trigger of the acute asthma exacerbation is, when was the onset, and what's been the trajectory, noting that the differential for anaphylaxis would be for sudden onset. We want to know about the previous medical assessment and response to treatment this episode, the frequency and effectiveness of bronchodilators. Have they been using preventers and relievers or just one or the other? Are they on steroids currently and how long have they been on steroids? Have they got an asthma action plan? Are they following it? And is there evidence of differential symptoms? So productive cough, fevers, chest pain, syncope to consider alternative diagnoses. Risk factors for potentially fatal asthma with a past history of asthma, multiple ED visits or hospital admissions in the last 12 months, previous ICU admissions and or endotracheal intubation, previous need for intravenous asthma treatment, brittle asthma, so sudden and severe exacerbations, poor compliance with preventer therapy and poor follow-up, excessive use of short-acting beta agonists, listed as greater than one canister per month in some resources and greater than three per year in rural children's, underutilization of inhaled corticosteroids, current or recent systemic corticosteroid use or in the last 6 months, need for greater than or equal to three classes of asthma maintenance meds, asthma worse with non-steroidals and aspirin, poor lung function, and also the children's mentions interval symptoms such as nocturnal cough, exercise-induced wheeze, school attendance and participation in activities. For lifestyle factors, playing into what I just said about the RCH, smoking and other substance use, lower socioeconomic status and poor living conditions, and rural or remote location. Other factors are psychiatric disturbance, comorbidities such as cardiac comorbidities and HIV, food allergies and a history of anaphylaxis, and other regular medications such as beta blockers. On examination, the main discriminators are general appearance, mental state, activity, and work of breathing. There's a spectrum, obviously, between mild, moderate, severe, and life-threatening disease. For appearance, we're going from not unwell-looking through to severely unwell and in extremis for life-threatening. For speech, we're looking at full sentences through to single words or no speech in life-threatening. Posture is normal in mild to moderate cases, and then tripodding and life-threatening. Breathing, mildly increased work of breathing through to severely or marked increased work of breathing, and then maximal work of breathing and tiring and life-threatening. In terms of vital signs, mild tachypnea or normal in mild disease through to severe tachypnea or bradypnea in life-threatening. Heart rate, not a great discriminator given the salbutamol induces a tachycardia, which may be normal in mild through to a severe tachycardia or even bradycardia in life-threatening. SATs can be normal in mild through to less than 90 on room air for life-threatening. Conscious state, active and alert for mild through to drowsy or agitated in severe and drowsy and life-threatening. Auscultation, can have diffuse wheeze in mild to moderate, and then a silent chest in life-threatening. Skin will be normal in mild to moderate and then pale through cyanosis in life-threatening. FEV1 greater than 40% predicted in mild to moderate, less than 40% predicted in severe and unable to perform in life-threatening. For investigations in pediatrics, they're generally not required. For adults, consider a VBG looking at respiratory acidosis. So PaCO2, particularly of greater than 45, is very concerning. And beware the normal CO2 that can indicate early tiring. There will be a PaO2 of less than 60, and again, respiratory acidosis and a superimposed metabolic acidosis, which may be lactic in origin given the salbutamol. ECG, looking for a sinus tachycardia from the bronchodilators, chest X-ray, looking for differentiators, pneumothorax, pneumomediastinum, and pneumonia or pneumonitis in particular. Okay, so we've talked about the history in terms of current illness and risk factors for potentially fatal asthma, the examination features that distinguish between mild through to life-threatening disease, and also the investigations that may be useful in help guiding management of acute asthma. Thanks for listening.